Shining City Audio, a John Meacham and C-13 original studio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
March 6, 1857, the Dred Scott decision is announced. I'm John Meacham, and this is Reflections of History. It was Friday, March 6, 1857, only 2 days after the inauguration of James Buchanan. The man who had administered the oath to the new president, Roger Brooke Tawney, the Chief Justice of the United States, now sat in the Supreme Court chamber in the Capitol basement to announce the opinion of the court in the case of Dred Scott. For a decade, from 1833 to 1843, Scott, an enslaved man, had been taken from Missouri to military posts in Illinois and in the Wisconsin Territory, both of which were above the line established by the Missouri Compromise, before being brought back south of the line. Scott had married and had two children while on free land. Upon his forcible return to a slave state, Scott sued for his and his family's freedom in the St. Louis Circuit Court. Under a legal principle established in Missouri known as once free, always free, a lower court agreed with Scott. In a major victory for the pro-slavery cause, however, the state Supreme Court ruled against him in a decision issued on March 22, 1852. In the state court's majority opinion, Missouri Justice William Scott acknowledged the decision was in reaction to rising anti-slavery sentiment. What Justice Scott called a dark and fell spirit in relation to slavery that was fueling calls for abolition. The pro-slavery line had to be held, and he was going to hold it. That meant the once free, always free principle had to be struck down. The case made its way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which heard the case in March 1856. The justices on Tawney's court were hardly diverse in their political viewpoints. Seven were Democrats, five, including Tawney of Maryland, were from slave states. In the decision announced on this date, by 7-2, a majority essentially ruled that the Declaration of Independence's assertion of equality did not include black people, that black people were not citizens, and that the Missouri Compromise and any future restrictions on slavery was unconstitutional. Dred Scott had no standing in court, the court said, for he had no standing in the American order other than the fact of his enslavement. In Tawney's words, black people, quote, are not included and were not intended to be included under the word citizens in the Constitution. On the contrary, they were at that time considered as a subordinate and inferior class of beings who had been subjugated by the dominant race and, whether emancipated or not, yet remained subject to their authority. Black people, Tawney went on, had for more than a century been regarded as beings of an inferior order and altogether unfit to associate with the white race either in social or political relations, and so far unfit that they had no rights which the white man was bound to respect. In New York, Frederick Douglass reacted with passion and proportion. I have no fear that the national conscience will be put to sleep by such an open, glaring, and scandalous tissue of lies as that decision is and has been over and over shown to be. The Supreme Court of the United States is not the only power in this world. It is very great, but the Supreme Court of the Almighty is greater. Judge Tawney can do many things, but he cannot perform impossibilities. He cannot change the essential nature of things, making evil good and good evil. In Illinois, Abraham Lincoln found the ruling erroneous and was determined to peaceably overrule it. Lincoln added, All the powers of Earth seem rapidly combining against the enslaved person. Mammon is after him, ambition follows, and philosophy follows, and the theology of the day is fast joining the cry. They have him in his prison house, they have searched his person, and left no prying instrument with him. One after another they have closed the heavy iron doors upon him, and now they have him, as it were, bolted in with a lock of 100 keys. Thank you for listening to Reflections of History, a creation of Shining City Audio, a C13 Originals and John Meacham studio. Reflections of History is executive produced by me, John Meacham, and Chris Corcoran, Chief Content Officer and founding partner of Cadence 13. Production and editing led by Lloyd Lockridge, Margot Gray, and Chris Basil. Production assistance by Andy Jaskowitz and Adam Macias. Cadence 13 is an Odyssey company.
I'm Lauren Sherman, the writer behind Puck's Fashion and Beauty Memo line sheet, and I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Fashion People. On every episode of Fashion People, I'll be talking to insiders about the stuff we're all whispering between the press releases, from M&A rumors to celebrity stylist dish to the future of legacy media. Be sure to follow and listen to Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.